Yeah, it's that time of year. Everybody comes back. Everybody's got to get reintroduced to radio.
And reacquainted
yes.
with CKUT.
Uh-huh.
Our funding drive's also coming up in October, by the way.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Save up those pennies and dimes and give them to us.
Start to save that $5, you know, every week. And who knows what that can accumulate. Either you spend it on something that you really like, or you decide to donate to CKUT.
No, they really like CKUT.
That's true.
Adore the Monday Morning After.
I hope so, Zeke.
I know so.
I hope so. Uh-huh. Well, I thank you, listeners, for listening in, of course. And that's why we're talking about the funding drive, because it's thanks to you that we can produce these shows and talk to you and also expose you to some events and other perspectives that you don't normally hear from, such as Zeke's alternate art ramble.
Yeah, today it was the sort of thing where I was sort of thinking over the weekend, oh, I got to go see something. And then I kept meaning to go see something. And then suddenly the weekend passed and I hadn't seen a darn thing. And so at which point, what am I going to do? I have a responsibility here. I have...
Very important duty.
I don't think it's that important. I think it's... you guys privilege me by allowing me to do this. The people who listen make me feel like the most specialist and most wonderfulest person in the world, because there are actually people out there who, like, I don't pay attention, and it's like, wow. But anyhow, it's the sort of thing, as opposed to completely dropping the ball and just rambling on about just, I don't know, the color of the walls or the fact that I think that Margot turned on the winter switch this weekend. You do the weather, right? And it's cold this morning. And so at which point it's cold, and at which point, who else turned on the winter switch?
It's those negotiations.
Okay.
And so, but I could have done that, but then I realized, no, that's not a good idea. Especially given the looks that Margot's given me this morning. She has no clue what I'm talking about. I'm not certain anybody has any clue what I'm talking about, including myself. But
that's
there,
amazing.
I suddenly realized, oh yeah. Every day, or not every day, about 5-6 times a week, I go through 25 websites so as to try and figure out what the heck is happening in the Canadian art scene. Because it is the sort of thing where the Canadian art scene is one of the more obscure art scenes in the world. It is more obscure than the Estonian art scene. It is about on the same level as, I think, as the Sierra Leonean art scene. It's Ghana definitely gets a lot more cred on a worldwide basis than Canada does. Yes?
Why do you think that is?
Because there's this border thing here. And everybody is very, very insular about the Canadian art. And they do spend a fair bit of money, despite what everybody's sort of talking about. Stephen Harper's cutting budgets left, right, and center. What is it? The guy with the curly hair who runs Quebec. I'm spacing. It's too early in the morning. Thank you very much.
He has curly hair?
Yeah, he has curly hair. It's gray, too.
Wait, we're talking about, once again, Sabrina said Jean Charest.
Yeah, Jean Charest.
Oh,
Jean Charest and his whole bureaucracy called the Conseil des Arts et Lettres du Québec do a phenomenal job of supporting Quebec artists, except for the fact that they support them in a style which they're not exactly the bestest. It's, I think, like the poverty level is somewhere about $24,000, $25,000 a year, which means that if you're making less than that a year, you're poor. And most artists in Quebec make about $23,000 a year. And they're just under the poverty line, which means that if they make that box of macaroni and cheese last a meal and a half, then they can actually survive. But the amount of empowerment you can get by saying, I'm an artist, I have no day job, is phenomenal. It's the sort of thing where I don't have to be the librarian, I don't have to be the garbage man, I don't have to work at some as some waiter or waitress. I am an artist. Oh, I like that. That's very cool. And it is the sort of thing where they do this for thousands upon thousands of people. Yeah, and as a consequence, because they're just spending money sort of not willy-nilly, but just spreading it out large, there's a lot of mediocre art, which is one reason why it doesn't get outside of the borders. It's the sort of thing where the amount of Quebec art that actually goes to the rest of Canada is very small. Then, on top of it, second tranche. You then have the government, which is also supporting exhibiting stuff. And there, like in Montreal alone, there are 30 Maisons de la Culture, which are all supported by a combination of Quebec and Montreal, where there's a library, there's an exhibition space, and there's a theater. And you have one in NDG, you have one in the Plateau, you have one in Ahuntsic, you have one in Beaconsfield, you have one in Pointe-Claire, you have one in Dorval, you have one in just about every single borough. Each of those has a staff of four. Okay, then on top of it, they have the best of the bestest sort of lights to display stuff. They all come out with nice little catalogs that are printed in color, explaining the art and so on and so forth. And so that's a serious amount of cash as well to get art, which is, to me, a phenomenal concept of just getting art out into the world, into the neighborhoods, getting people to see it in their neighborhood. If no matter where you live in the city, actually, no matter where you live in the province, you live in Alma, and there's a Maison de la Culture there, and Alma, I think, is probably smaller than Montreal North. Montreal North has two Maisons de la Culture, or one of them is not called a Maison de la Culture. I think it's called something slightly else with the word culture in it. But anyhow, by doing that, it's the sort of thing where On the face value of it, it looks like a really, really cool thing, because they're getting art out to the people. All those artists who are supported by Calc, who make $23,000 a year, they have to exhibit someplace. They exhibit there. But it is the sort of thing, it just stops there. Nobody is tossing stuff out in the world. My preference would be actually to, yes, really piss off a whole lot of those artists and say, no, why do you want to be under the poverty line? Let's choose five artists. Let's give them all, what, about $250,000 a year, and then see if they can't become bigger than the guy with the diamonds in the skull. Sabrina?
Diamonds in the skull?
Yeah, he made it, a piece of art which was a diamond-encrusted skull.
Sounds familiar. I'm going to have to look it up.
Yeah, he's the British guy. Who's a real jerk and an asshole.
Oh, I don't know if you just said that on here.
He's a jerk and a nasty guy.
No, I won't say any names.
I call people names all the time.
Profanities, mm-hmm. Zeke. But you know, mm-hmm. This is the thing, though. I have to cut you there, Oni, because I have to debate this. You want to only have five artists? You're talking about a city, let's say just Montreal alone, has more than just five artists. And everyone is worthy of having their artwork being
Yes, but
exhibited.
Look at it in terms of circus. Look at it in terms of circus and music. Okay, Celine Dion is the biggest musician singer in the world, and how much pride does everybody in town get because she sells gazillions and she is so big and she is so amazing according to them, and it's a fierté. That's my chest as opposed
because
to the desk.
Always heard
the fierté de chez nous, and that is something I'd like to see. And how much attention do they pay to music because of her? In terms of because of her, Luc de la Rochelière gets paid attention to. Because of her, Jean Leloup gets paid attention to. Because of her, everything follows down.
I disagree with Jean Leloup, because Jean Leloup has been around for quite a long time.
Celine Dion beats him by about 15 years. She sang for the Pope.
The problem is that Jean Leloup is in a whole different category of music. Has a whole different background.
Jean Leloup is pop music.
No.
But anyhow, that my point being, okay, so...
But anyway, I can understand where you're going with this, with your train of thought and saying that, okay... People, the masses, are influenced by what is ever successful, quote-unquote, within pop culture and mass society, and therefore if it's heavily funded, and therefore you're going to have a lot of people wanting to support more heavily funded type of artistic figures. But then that defeats the whole purpose about what makes art so unique and what makes art so accessible.
Well, first of all, if nobody goes to see it, because it is a sort of thing where at these Maisons de la Culture, you get maybe 1,000 people going to see an exhibition, which is like a drop in the bucket.
But maybe it's not made for people over than 1,000 people to go see it.
Then at which point, why are they spending four salaries? So that's the equivalent of 1 year, $20,000 plus probably another $25,000 would be just a rough estimate for that exhibition. So which means they're spending $25 to get each person in to see that show.
Ah, you could put it on the web. A lot more people will see it.
Yeah, there is online, of course.
Yeah, that's cool.
But it is...
The intention, again, is, and this is the angle that I find very daring that you're taking, because it's once again going under the notion as if art is made for the masses.
No,
art is not made.
No,
for the
art
masses.
Is.
Yes, it is. Art
no,
is.
It's not.
Yes,
it
yes.
Is.
Art,
art,
art
is not.
Art, art.
I disagree with
Liz.
You.
Liz,
I
look,
think. No, no. But, wait.
We're gonna beat you up over the air.
No, I was gonna say that there are certain selected artists that don't make art for masses to see it. They make art because they just want certain people from a certain artistic industry and milieu and their own cliques that will respect it and will want to expose it to other artists that they know, whether they're around the world or whether they're here. It's usually very clique related, those who are really into the arts and into their art. There are others who are, of course, commissioned and who are, you know, doing other types of projects.
However,
and then there's other artists, fine, that do it for the masses, only have that aim, but don't want to have anything else to do with the arts and will never define themselves even as that real artist. They are a different kind of artist and they are, you know, money-making artists and that, and not to say that not artists make money. I mean, most artists do make money, but in a different way. And it's not as if they're making their art so it can be publicized unless they have that intention, is all I'm saying. Is that there's a lot of artists out there that do not have that intention on targeting masses.
That is a new concept. It has only been around for about 35 years. You go back and you look at films in the from the 40s, from the 50s, from the 30s, talking about just stuff that was happening then. As part of the conversation, in the same way that they would be aware of popular music, they would be aware of painting. The same way that they would be aware of what the best-selling books were, they'd be aware of sculpture. Everybody had that knowledge. It was only in the 60s that contemporary art started to remove itself from the conversation, and it became, as you say, cliquish and the sort of thing. Emily Dickinson, who wrote poetry her entire life, but nobody read it until after she was dead, in poetry is the anomaly. Most poets, all poets for the most part, want to be published. Most artists, yes, for the most part, want to be seen. Yes, there are the Franz Kafkas of the world who don't want to be read and still come up with cool novels. But it is, it is only recently in the, visual art has removed itself from the conversation. That, to me, is a pity, because it means, for the most part, that people are not aware of some really, really kick-ass stuff that happens. And my point being, by saying that they're five, is that by getting some shining superstar who's like going out there like a house on fire, like a falling star, like, I don't know, like Guy Laliberté,
Picasso.
Yes, and you make a Quebecois Picasso, then everybody else in Quebec who is an artist rises with the tide. Suddenly, everybody in Quebec knows about visual arts because they know about this Quebecois Picasso, and then all the other ones suddenly go up. Before Celine Dion, how many Quebecois groups do you know?
Do you know what I'm going to say?
What are you going
to
say?
I think it's time to look through the library and learn more about art history.
They have some really cool books.
Because I want to look back and see. Because there's a time period from where I kind of feel as though I don't know so much about that transition from when most of the really famous artists back in a long time ago didn't even make any money out of their own art, right?
Who? Says who?
No.
Well,
give me a name.
Did Van Gogh make money when he was alive?
No, but his brother did.
No printers.
Well, did Van Gogh make money?
Van Gogh got given money by his brother once he died.
Did Van Gogh make money?
He made money because his...
Anyway, I'm going to look into the history. That's okay. My point. And that's why I'm bringing this up, is that we can debate all we want and we can discuss who made money and who didn't. And that's always a great discussion. And I actually learned that about the whole idea of that and how the value of art gets lost sometimes when it's all about money, not even about the art at one point, which is what I learned at Paul Werner's
It's always been about the money.
At Zeke's Gallery back in the day. And Paul Werner was, of course, from the Metropolitan.
No, did the Guggenheim.
He
wasn't from there. He was against the Guggenheim, but he was a docent there. And point, art has always been about the money.
No, art is
not
necessity.
But anyway, okay. Headlines is going to come on. Thank you, Zeke.
So much for the list of art sites that I see.
You can mention them in the second hour of the show.
Okay.
All right. Stay tuned for Democracy Now! Headlines. That should be starting any minute now. I don't believe you made me think today, Zeke.
By the way, the dude with the encrusted skulls, his name is Damien Hirst.
Thank you, Sabrina.
He's British.
Right. Democracy Now! Headlines is starting now. Thank you for listening. Write us your comments Monday at ckat.ca. So on the topic of poetry, that was Pagan Poetry by Bjork, but you had some links that you want to share, Zeke.
Yeah, I'm surprised twice in one day. Oh, it's wicked cool. But anyhow, I will go quickly. There's collective.net, which is collectif.net. They deal with architecture and design stuff, and they basically are a service that sort of publicizes, or not publicizes, but they just send out willy-nilly whatever they get. There's Marc Gautier, MarcGautier. He tends to concentrate a lot on stuff up in Quebec City from the Musée des Beaux-Arts National du Québec. He also is on the radio up there. There's Hat de Ville, which is Eric Bolduc. We've had him on the air here, and he, again, like Collective, but he does a service which is basically getting press releases and then rebroadcasting them far and wide. And he concentrates a lot on Montreal. There is Un Chaud de Motard, where we've had Éloi Desjardins on the air as well, and he sort of is all over the place. I'm talking with him about getting him on the air to come back and talk about Venice, because he went to go see Venice, and we can have a good talk about how Canadian art is on the international scene, because he thinks it's big and I think it's tiny. And then View on Canadian Art, which is sort of like the granddaddy, although Andrea Carson isn't your granddaddy. Andrea Carson, the person who writes it, is much more like your... let's not go there. She just does a wonderful thing. If anybody wants specific URLs or wants me to send stuff over the internet so that you can actually click on the stuff and go to these places, monday@ckut.ca, and we will send them off to you. Thanks a lot.
Okay, thanks, Zeke.